Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Dating is a option. You don't get that privilege at 16 just because you're 16 or because you're 15 or whatever. I think you have to earn it.
Let me ask you something, Alex. If you made a promise to a girl's dad that you would not see her anymore, would you consider that like a binding promise?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Of course, we are so grateful to be part of APU, but when it comes to what you hear on this broadcast, that's all listener supported. We're here and able to broadcast each and every day because of your prayers and faithful financial support. You can give a gift over the phone when you call us toll free at 800-397-9725. You can also give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Well, today on the program, we're going to talk about sex and specifically how and when to talk to your kids about sex. And so that conversation begins right now. And welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Jim's our guest today on the program. You're hosting and guesting on your own program.
Actually, you're the host. Well, I'm the guest, and I'm still sitting in the host chair, so
right.
We should probably move chairs. No, we're okay.
I think we're going to get this straight, though. We're talking about how and when to talk to your kids about sex. So I guess it doesn't really matter what chair we're sitting in, but we're talking about peer foundations and an overarching theme that we've had here on the broadcast of late because of the extensive writing, Jim, in the past 3-4 years that you've done on this topic, and the two newest bundles of joy in the Peer Foundation series are out, and we call them the bundles of joy because they're designed for young children. The book God Made Your Body for ages 3 to 5 and How God Makes Babies for ages 6 to 9 are the two new companion books to Purity Code and Accept Nothing Less. And Jim, these are in addition to the fact that the kids on the cover are so incredibly cute on both of these books, there's a lot to these books. There's a lot of substance.
Well, you're right. You know, I feel like kids need honest, God-honoring input when it comes to sex and sexuality and relationships. Right. And so, by golly, we're trying our best to make it. We're trying to make it look great. We're trying to be very open and honest. And we're actually trying to help parents dialogue with their kids about sex and sexuality and help them begin to feel more comfortable with these conversations. So glad we're talking about it today.
It's a big paradigm shift, isn't it? When you think about, when you talk about sex and sexuality and having a dialogue with our kids, most of us are pretty comfortable with the idea of this happening when they're in middle school or high school. And that's relatively comfortable because that's a tough time for us to talk to kids about anything, let alone sex and sexuality. And most of us parents, too, are okay with as they're 2, 3, 4 years old, teaching the body parts, eyes, nose, ears. You know, we have songs about them and things like that. But you're encouraging us to change the paradigm a little bit and actually use that time to begin having conversation about sex and sexuality. Talk about why you think that's important.
Well, the studies show that if kids feel comfortable about their body, if they feel comfortable about who made them, if they feel comfortable about their being a male or a female or whatever, that one day they'll become a daddy and a mommy and all that, early on, that they'll feel more comfortable talking with their parents about, you know, these subjects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned this, and Christy is our oldest, and we said, these are your eyes, here's your nose. And, you know, this kid was so profound by, you know, certain age, we think she was the smartest kid ever. And
right.
She named them all. But we never mentioned the private parts.
The unmentionables.
Or we called them private parts or whatever. And then we realized we'd made a mistake on that. So with Becca, as she began to be able to talk, you know, we said the nose, the mouth, and whatnot. And then we gave the proper names for those private parts as well.
Thank
and there were some times she embarrassed us, you know, in the store. But we found that we had made a mistake because why were we not talking about those private parts? Because that's as much a part of their body.
Yeah.
And so it's, again, helping at a young age them just feel comfortable with their body. You know, you and I both know that as kids become teenagers, girls and guys, a lot of times have problems with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't accept their body. They don't like their body. Even adults, that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, part of that is because at a young age, we never talked about the fact that God made your body and
right.
God made you special. And so this is part of the message of what we call the Pure Foundations campaign, which starts at age 3 and goes all the way through adulthood.
We had an experience in our family growing up, and I wonder if this is typical. I'd like you to comment on it. Emily's 21, Kaylee 18, Jake 14. With Emmy, changes in the body started to happen 8 or 9 years of age. That kind of came on
a little
early. And
I'm sure she's glad you're mentioning that on radio.
Yeah, she was thrilled to be, you know, having to deal with that. Kaylee, a little different issues. By the time Jake's crowd, his friends, him and Edward, were moving into, you know, puberty, as it were, they were really almost consumed with changes in the body. Hey, am I getting any hair under my arms? Or, you know, that type of stuff. And they were really a lot more focused on it. And it seems like over the past maybe 10 years, the kids are paying a lot more attention to the changes in their body than maybe they used to a generation ago. Is that what the research is indicating to you as well?
Well, I think that kids have always been interested in those changes. I think they're being more verbal about it. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, a lot of times, even especially with young women, that physiologically it's happening at an earlier age.
Yeah.
And so parents have to, you know, get on the ball and have the conversation, because maybe it didn't happen for them until they were a little older and
right,
other kids
right.
are younger. But also, kids are just feeling more comfortable about it. I mean, it's in the movies, it's on the television set, it's talked about at school more. So as parents, we can't just be silent to it today. Mm-hmm. And so we have to talk about it at an early age, because they're doing exactly what you said your son's friends were doing, is they're now talking about it. So who do you want teaching your kids healthy sexuality?
Yeah.
The friends who you have no control over, or you and your spouse? And I'm saying is, let's provide resources for parents to make that happen, and make those resources very blunt, but very also unashamedly Christian.
We're talking about how and when to talk to your kids about sex. And of course, Dr. Jim Burns, the author of the Pure Foundation series that starts actually for us as moms and dads with the book Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. And that's to speak to the 99% of us who never really had that dialogue with our own parents growing up. Not that our parents were bad. They just didn't have the information. They didn't give it to us. Now we have that information. But the Pure Foundation series talks about sexual purity. That's the recurring theme through all of these books. And this is something that there's a parent who has maybe a high school student right now who isn't sexually pure anymore. I mean, they made a mistake, they made a bad decision, and now they're thinking, well, sexual purity, that's not in it for me. It's not going to happen anymore. What advice do you have to that parent who says, gosh, my kid screwed up and now I don't know what to tell him about sexual purity? How can they live a sexually pure life, because they're not sexually pure anymore?
I think you still raise the bar for them and give them lots of love and lots of grace, but at the same time say, hey, this is how God wants us to live. You know, in honor of God, my family, and even my future spouse, I commit to sexual purity. It doesn't say that you have to have had this. You know, purity, Roger, is much more than sexual intercourse if the kid messed up. Purity is what you do with your eyes. You know, I have 4 points on this. You know, you honor God with your body. You renew your mind for good. These are all scriptures. You take your eyes off of worthless things, and that's a biggie.
Mm.
And then you guard your heart. And the scripture says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so again, if kids have messed up, or if adults have messed up, they still can move back to a commitment to sexual purity. It's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents, I think we have to raise the standards, give them lots of love and grace, and at the same time, show them that there is a better way, and help them understand some of the consequences. Now, obviously, there are consequences of unwed pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases and whatnot.
Sure.
But there's also consequences even in a marriage relationship when they get married and they bring all these other relationships that they've had into it. Begin to teach them that, but not from a negative standpoint.
Right.
Teach them from a positive standpoint, so that they understand that there are very good consequences for making those right and wise decisions. And that's kind of the theme of helping kids have a pure foundation for that aspect of their life. And I think it kind of filters into every other aspect of their life as well.
I'm thinking of the line that I hear in the traditional wedding ceremony with the vows, where they talk about, you know, forsaking all others from this day forward. And have you've talked so often about how sexual purity is, okay, from now until forever. I realize stuff happened in the past, but at the same time, I'm going to draw the line here and say, from here on out, that's what I'm going to do.
You're right. You know, I have been in conversations both this morning and last night with a pastor who had been at the same church for 25 years, and a pretty amazing guy, who found out last week that he was caught because he had been involved with pornography for most of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is an incredible man. One of the things we're doing, we're helping, getting him have lots of help in lots of ways, but one of the things we're doing is saying, from this day forward, what are you going to put in place? Now, is it going to be easy? No, he's got an amazing amount of images and kind of a warped view of sexuality, most likely. But I've talked to him and his wife, and they're not even in our area. They're in another part of the country. But we're trying to get them some help, because he's going to have to renew his mind and
literally
develop an accountability system that's going to help him for the rest of his life, so he doesn't go back. From this day forward, he can move on. And I believe that he feels in fact, he feels shame, but I feel that he feels like he has confessed this sin, and it is a sin. You've missed the mark. You know, right. We all miss the mark. Well, he's missed the mark, but now from this day forward, he can move on. That's the kind of thing we want to talk to kids, but also we want to help them. I would imagine that if his parents would have talked to him and had good dialogue, he may not be in the place he's in today. Mm-hmm. And so what we're trying to do here is help kids make right and wise decisions that will last a lifetime.
Right.
How much better? In some ways, we're helping marriages succeed because kids are making better decisions. Well, that's a job for the parent. That's not just our job to talk to kids. You know, I used to spend in my life, I was a youth speaker, and I would speak to about 250,000 kids a year, a lot of times on this subject of the purity code. But then I realized, you know, I'm a one-shot thing. These kids will make a commitment to sexual purity, and then they would fade from it. But when parents have the conversation, and especially parents who will start young and kind of move on, even grandparents, if they'll do that, then kids will last for their lifetime. And sexual purity is something that they can attain. So, you know, we can be very positive about it as well.
Well, Jim, one of the things that I appreciate about what you write about in your Pure Foundation series, and of course, I'm part of Homeward, so I mean, I'm a little bit biased here, but when you look at the resources that we get, because listeners may not know how many different books and DVDs and things are sent to us for our consideration, saying, hey, would you consider having these folks as guests on your program? One of the best things about the Pure Foundation series is the fact that it is so comprehensive, that you encourage this to be an ongoing dialogue. And really, this is a way of life. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, when you're a teenager, don't have sex because you might get pregnant and you might get an STD. When you're in college, well, we can't do anything about it. Your Pure Foundation series says, no, you can instill this as a way of life in the lives of your kids. And you can start with an age-appropriate conversation as early as age 3. If you'd like more information about these resources, the book for kids is ages 3 to 5, 6 to 8, 9 to 13, I mean, all the way up to high school years. Visit our online resource center, take a look around, browse these different resources. Go to homeward.com for that information. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Bye, Mom.
Oh, bye, Tina. Have fun. So what time would you like us home?
Don't you want to know who we'll be out with?
That would be good to know, I guess.
So you're all right with the fact that we want to go to the movies on a school night?
Girls, why are you asking all these questions anyway?
Yeah.
Because we need to know what our limits are, Dad.
Now, you'll probably never live long enough to hear your teenager say, hey, can you add some restrictions to my life? But the reality is, kids really do want to know what's expected of them and what the consequences of violating their boundaries. Sure, most healthy kids will test those limits a time or two or even three, but well-defined boundaries and clear expectations give them stability and security that allows them to grow. And by the way, when you go to our website at homeward.com, you can download a free copy of my tip sheet called 5 Reasons Why Your Kids Want You to Set Boundaries for Them. So check it out. I'm Jim Burns.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome back to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Our conversation today centering on the topic of how and when to talk to your kids about sex. And these are principles that are all throughout the Pure Foundation series, Jim, which is such a landmark work for kids ages 3 to 17 and also for us parents who had really nice parents in some cases. Like my folks were great. And I remember my dad the one day when I was 11 having the talk with me and saying, there are a bunch of encyclopedias over there on the wall on medical issues, and if you have any questions, you can read them. And that was it. Because he figured that I'd already heard about it at school, which I had. But of course, you know, I heard about it from 8 and 9 year olds.
And they don't get it exactly.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, right. And that's the mistake of a generation.
Yeah.
And this generation has to change it. And yet the problem is we didn't have role models. So, you know, we've got to figure out how to talk to our kids in a healthy way. And that's what we're having this conversation
and
about.
And before we go any further, Mom and Dad, I love you. You guys are wonderful people, married 54 years. You're awesome. You're great. No damage done there. Jim, there was before the break, we were talking about the fact that sometimes in a child's life, their first experience of a sexual nature is because of an abuser. Talk about what a parent can do, because now here's Mom and Dad already having a little anxiety about having this kind of dialogue anyway with their kids, and now the first time they do, it's because of something that's horrible.
Right, and that's why it's so important for parents to help their kids understand that, you know, there are dangerous things going on out there. When you look at sexual abuse, and, you know, our listeners aren't going to like this, and we don't have to spend the whole time on this. Right. We have done programs on it, of course. One out of three young women, by the time they're 18, will be sexually abused. Mm-hmm. You know, just sink in for a second on that mm-hmm. one. One out of five to one out of six of young men. And 80% of those sexual abuse experiences are done with someone that they knew. Mm-hmm. So again, it's traumatic, it's horrible, it's rotten. You know, we can't walk around with our kids at all time and make sure that they aren't sexually abused. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot we can do.
Okay.
And this is one of the reasons why I think we need to be talking about it, is that when parents talk to their kids about sexual abuse, for example, when they're little, very little, you know, you say, you know, no one has the right to touch you in a private part. And if that ever happens, then I want you to have a conversation with me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to get mad at you or whatever. When they're young, you're monitoring babysitters like crazy. I mean, my goodness, parents, make sure that you know where your kids are. Make sure if they're at somebody else's house, you're thinking about the age of the boys or the girls who are older, who might even be watching them or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you have any kind of a gut feeling, then be careful with it. I mean, you know, in many families, I was talking with a woman the other day who said, you know, my brother is a great guy, but he drinks a lot and he was somewhat sexually promiscuous and I don't know. So I just didn't have the kids alone with my brother. There were times when he's one of their favorite uncles type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that situation, that woman probably made a wise idea. That doesn't mean that the guy was a sexual abuser. I don't know. And
right.
didn't scare the kids, but just simply she was guarding, watching. Mm-hmm. I think when kids have experienced sexual abuse, no matter what the age, and again, by 18, it's usually a little bit older, but there's child sexual abuse that's horrible. You know, I think we have to teach them, don't blame yourself. It's always the fault of the abuser. And then we have to help them get help. Parents can't handle it on their own. A lot of times, right. parents, because of 80% of the people that they know, they want to take it into their own hands. And really, you want to be able to get the help from people who really know what they're doing and can help you through the process. Because if people don't deal with it, then they're going to bring it into their marriages. They're going to bring it into other relationships. And it comes out in a lot of really negative ways. There is hope. And frankly, I would also help kids understand when they've had this experience that God really does care. Mm. You know, I love mm-hmm. that verse in the Bible where Jesus weeps. It's yeah. the shortest verse in the Bible. And he wept over the death of a friend. But what it does is it shows that God cares deeply with great compassion for people who are hurting and in trauma. And I want people to understand that God as much as the God who, you know, there is a God of judgment and discipline and whatnot, but there's also a God of incredible love and compassion for somebody who's been hurting. So, you know, the reason we bring it up is because in every one of our books of the Pure Foundation series, we are talking about that in terms of parents, help your kids understand that there is a world out there where there can be sexual abusers. And, you know, with predators online and whatnot, we've got to be able to talk about that today.
Right, right. We're talking about how and when to talk to your kids about sex and principles that you'll find in the four books now in the Pure Foundation series, along with the capstone, if you will, teaching your children healthy sexuality. Jim, just on a lighter note, there's another parent who's listening to us right now who has a 15-year-old daughter, and she's in love. She's just absolutely head over heels in love with the boy of her dreams. They're going to get married because he talked to her twice in algebra class or something like that. But she's in love to the point where the heart is really taking over and kicking in along with the hormones. And she's thinking, I want to be with this guy. I mean, I'll do anything because I'm so in love with this guy.
Yeah.
What word of wisdom can you give to the mom and also to the dad too? Because I know as a dad, if my daughter had acted like that at 15, I would have been like, I'm locking you away forever. No more boys in your world.
I think all three of my daughters did that. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it is love. You look at it as love. It's puppy love, but right. it's real to puppies. And yet at the same time, this is where parents have to have some boundaries. For example, we didn't let our kids date at 15.
Okay.
Did they have relationships with boys? Some of them were boys from our church and things like that. They did. I mean, they talked on the phone. They did various things. But we chose to wait to have our kids date. And, you know, there's about 5% of the Christian population that would say courting is the way. And I'm not opposed to that by any means. But by far, 95% of kids will date. And statistics show that if kids date at age 12, 91% of them will have sexual intercourse by the time they graduate from high school.
Wow.
That doesn't mean dating is the boy coming and picking up the girl at age 12 and driving to the movies. It just means that it's an exclusive date.
Yeah. I hope a 12-year-old doesn't drive to
pick
up somebody.
But sometimes they'll let the older boys do it or whatever. And with a 15-year-old, you're right on the edge. Mm-hmm. Dating is an option, but it's not. You don't get that privilege at 16 just because you're 16 or because you're 15 or whatever. I think you have to earn it.
Yeah.
And part of it is, as parents, we have to help them understand that. So take the love thing seriously, but realize it's also puppy love and kind of help them understand that as well. But we have to be very careful. If we just downplay it or we just kind of put our thumb to it, then our kids won't talk to us about those things. Mm-hmm. So, well, talk to me about that. Tell me about this and whatnot. Now, if the boy was 20 and she was 15, that's a no-go for me.
Right.
They're at two different developmental stages. Now, if they're at 28 and 23, I'm not as worried about
story.
That. But a 15-year-old is going through something very different than a 20-year-old. And we, a lot of times, hear that at home. We'll hear people ask us about that. I think parents have to guard their kids' heart as long as their kids are guarding their heart, too.
This is a great reminder for us as parents, too, Jim, for something you talk about often, the fact that we, moms and dads, need to have other moms and dads in our world that we can bounce things off of, because there's going to be a time when you have to kind of keep a cool exterior, like with the 15-year-old daughter situation, saying, you know, this is what's going to happen, instead of yelling and screaming, and then get together with your couple friends and just let loose and say, you would not believe what she's trying to pull now. And talk about the importance of having those friends.
This happened with Kathy and myself last night. We went to dinner with a couple who we love and adore, and they've got younger kids. And the dad was talking about the fact that as a father of a teenager, that the boys were kind of now separating from him, and it was really hurting him. This is a man who's an incredible physician, a wonderful man. His situation was that his dad abandoned him. So he wants this amazing relationship, and he's like dad of the year. He's done great, but his kids are going through the natural stuff.
Sure.
So I looked at him and said, you do realize that this is natural and normal for a 16-year-old to be going through what your son is going through. I mean, he loves you, but he also doesn't want to spend all of his time with you anymore.
Right.
And the dad said, I know that logically. It hurts in my heart. But you know what? It was because he was open to talk about it with Kathy and I. We weren't doing a counseling session. We were just literally having dinner. But, you know, I think it's important for us as couples to be around other couples and share those things, especially even with the sexuality things or the dating or that kind of stuff. Kathy and I, for 7 years during our kids' really major time of their growth and change, we were in a couples group. And I can't imagine going through it without the help of somebody else. I don't think parenting was meant to be done alone. And a lot of times we do it alone, especially if our kids are messing up or if, you know, we've messed up or whatever. You know, I think a relationship with other couples who are kind of going through the same thing can help greatly.
And as you mentioned, that being alone and not being alone, because a lot of times we'll think, well, I've got my spouse, so we've got two, we can bounce off each other. But it really is, but inside your own home, it looks a lot different than when you talk to other people, what they're experiencing in their own home.
Oh, right. So I remember the time talking with an older couple, kind of mentors to us, about what our kids were going through. And they, instead of helping us, they laughed and said, oh, yeah, that was our kids, too. And it actually made us feel better when they didn't give us any great wisdom. They just simply laughed at us, singing, well, that's what they're supposed to be doing when they're teenagers or whatever it is. And I think that's the kind of thing we have to think about as we deal with the pure foundations, that even if our kids are messing up, even if they're not walking the line, even when they're not perfect, that, you know what, with God's help, we can come back to setting the standards in a wonderful way and really teaching all of our kids the purity code. And, you know, it starts with us living it, but then teaching our kids this great opportunity for us to do life and relationships the way God wants us to.
Amen. That's just so powerful, Jim. I love this Pure Foundation series. I know that there are thousands of parents who are enjoying this as well, and their kids are benefiting from it as well. And as you talked about this, you know, what happens if there's kind of a clouded past? I think of John 8 and the story of the woman caught in adultery. And after Jesus sends away all of her accusers, he says, I don't condemn you, but don't do it again. And that's something, there is a restoration. There is a redemptive quality. And you'll find that all throughout these books in the Pure Foundation series. The first one, the capstone one, is how to talk to your kids about sex. And then there's the book for ages 3 to 5, 6 to 9, 10 through 13, which is the purity code, and 14 through 17, which is accept nothing less. All of these books are available for purchase anywhere. But if you order them directly through Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And these are great resources to have. If you're a grandparent and you've got adult children who are raising your grandchildren, they need this too. For ordering information, go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.